But it says, and again, this is church members' statement of purpose and desire. What does that mean, Article 4 there? What's those words mean? Church members' statement of purpose and desire. Okay, exactly. Now, obviously, this is in the Constitution. But when we read the Constitution and join the church, we read this, and this is a statement that we agree with. Does everybody agree with this today? Some of it? I hope you agree with all of it. If you don't, come see me. Because as a church member, that's what you agreed to the day you said you want to be a member here. So I just want to remind you of that. So the church member statement of purpose and desire, we went through it. It's to walk lovingly, to pray for advancement in the church. It's to give regularly and cheerfully to the church as God prospers. It's to serve faithfully in some activity in the church body according to your God's leading. It's to maintain family worship, training, discipline in my home, to encourage my family prayer, Bible study, spiritual growth for any under my care. It's to endeavor to be, by my example, to witness and to point others to Christ. It's to follow the Bible as my rule of faith and practice. That means you have to study the Bible to find out what the rule and faith is so you can practice it. It's to endeavor to understand and appreciate my fellow members in the church, especially those whose personalities we don't like. Doesn't say that, but that's what this is about. Ministries and backgrounds quite different than mine. And that goes along with that we're all part of the body. We're different parts of the body. Some of us are different than others. And I'm not going to point y'all out, so y'all just know that. I'm different from you, and you're different from me, but we're part of the body of Christ. And then number nine, is to endeavor to put into practice the scriptures relating to our church as the body of Christ. So let's go ahead and just look at a couple of these verses. And if you would, bear with me, maybe I can get some folks out there to read today. If you are willing to read, raise your hand, and I'll try to remember who raised their hands. I see Josh, one, and then Mike, and anybody else willing to read? Janie is, Josh is. Anybody else willing to read? Going once? Okay, so I'm just going to call on the people who didn't raise their hands, and so that's the way we'll do it this way, this time. I think that's fair. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Josh, Herb, if you look up Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 16 for me, please. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 16, that's quite a bit. And then Josh may come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 through 27. And then if you look up Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. What these verses are, they're talking about your spiritual gifts, okay? These three sections. So just to let you know. So if you'd read that for us, Josh, Herb. Okay. As we read through this, as you look at this particular number 9, where it says to endeavor to put into practice the scriptures relating to our church as the body of Christ, how does this passage relate to that? Absolutely. Ways we should treat each other. But what else? Okay, according to God's gift that's given to you, that's where we should excel in the ministry, if I use that word excel, but that's where we ought to be directing our efforts, is where we know God has given us a certain gift. Years ago, I'll mention it today, I wouldn't mention it last time just because John's here, but if you folks, most of you remember Flo, Flo was somebody who had the gift of administration. She was on top of everything all the time. When I first came here, she was head of the hospitality committee. She'd come in the offices, Pastor, this month we're doing this. And then she'd come next month, this month we're doing this. And when it came time for VBS, she'd push those that were in leadership of VBS to get the act together so she could start working on stuff. And she did it like in January or February. She started working on things already. But she was always on top of everything. And she was that type of person that knew how to order things and keep them in order. And she wouldn't be a slacker. She wouldn't wait till the last minute. I don't think she waited the last minute to do anything. But and she was just one of those people. And she had that gift. And so we have people that have that gift. We have people that have these gifts here. These other ones are listed to. And so what it's trying to tell us is to endeavor to put in practice the scriptures. We're to take the scriptures, put those in practice in our life. And that's where we're to use our gift. And everybody, as this purpose states, ought to be involved in this ministry doing something. There's room for everybody to do something. Those that are faithful and are willing to serve, there's things you can do. And that's what that's what the whole purpose is. That's why it's here. So, very good. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Josh, if you'd read that. Thank you. So how does that pertain? Now, that's similar to the other passage, but the other passage, really, the majority of it is speaking of the manifestation gifts that are given to every believer, at least one of those, and how to relate to each other, just as Josh said and Tina said. So that was the purpose of that. What's the purpose of this passage here? What is it? How does it relate to endeavor to put into practice the scripture relating to our church as the body of Christ? That's right. Just because you don't do something like I do, or I don't do something like you would do, we need to be careful and be understanding in that as well. But we also ought to, my personal belief is that when you do something for Christ and the body of Christ, it ought to be to the best that you can do it. Does that make sense? We're doing this for the Lord. And for us to come in and say something like, well, I don't do very good at this, but I'll try something. That's not the attitude to have when you're trying to do and serve God. Now, I may not be able to do a bulletin board, but that doesn't mean I can't do a bulletin board. It just means that it's going to be real hard for me, and I'm going to have to get excited about it, and I'm going to have to say, Lord, help me, because I really want to do this bulletin board. Now, some people, it's not that way. They can do a bulletin board, and they can rejoice in it and have fun with it, and it actually is fun. For me, it's not fun. There's no fun in doing a bulletin board. I'm sorry. And I understand someone who does it, and I have patience with that person, understanding that that's, for me, that's very hard. I'm glad you can do that. And so there are a lot of things that we all do differently. But we want to do our best, whatever it is. And you've heard the expression, someone say, well, I'm all thumbs. Well, we are not all thumbs. Some of you are fingers. Some of you are hands, some of you are feet, some of you are heads, and the way this explains it. In other words, we're all different, but yet we can fit together. And that's what God wants. If we were all the same, and He didn't make us the same, He didn't do that for a purpose. And part of it is the training that we have is to learn how to get along with one another, how to get along with people who don't agree with us is part of it as well. So we're all part of this body, and we all have a place in the ministry. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Mike. Okay. How does this relate? Okay. So what else do you see there? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we want to know what the Bible says and teaches, so we won't be like so many people today. Excuse me. And I've heard this, and I think it's true to some degree, that when you talk about conversions to the Mormons or even the Jehovah's Witness, many of those folks used to be Baptist, or that's what they would tell you. And what has happened is that there's so many people who've been in churches in the past that have not learned the doctrines of the Bible. And because they never really learned the doctrines of the Bible, someone comes along and shares something with them that sounds like the Bible, sounds pretty good, and so they're easily swayed to a doctrine. like, for instance, Calvinism. People are swayed to Calvinism. They read the Bible and they come away with the thought that you can lose, or you can't, you don't choose whether you're saved or not. God's already does it. And they come with this idea that because God knows past, present, and future, He knows who's going to get saved, that people have no choice in that. God is bigger than I am. His thoughts are greater than mine. I have no idea. Logically, I can't add those up. But I don't have to, because God's Word tells me that He's sovereign. He tells me He knows the past, present, future. I understand He knows who's going to get saved, and yet He gives me a choice. And I know there's a choice, because I've rejected Christ many times, and yet He still gave me opportunity. And I also know and believe that there's a point where there will be no opportunity if you reject Him and keep rejecting Him. So what I'm saying is that it's important. Now, this is talking about in the gifts, it's talking, chapter 12 is talking, Romans chapter 12 is talking about the manifestation gifts. First Corinthians chapter 12 is talking about the sign gifts mostly. And then this is talking about gifted men and women that God gives to the church for the purpose of encouraging the saints to do the work of the ministry. God calls apostles, not anymore, but used to, and prophets, which He doesn't anymore, but He calls evangelists and pastors and teachers. And the purpose of those calling is to help the saints to do the work of the ministry, perfecting them, and to edify the body of Christ. And we to do this until we're gone, our last breath, until we're no longer able. And let me say this, because you're going to hear me preach this many times. We got to get out. We got to tell people about Christ. We got to pass out tracts. We got to do this. We got to do that. I also understand, and I want you to understand this too, that we live lives in different seasons of life. When I was young, I can jump, run, and play. When I was a little bit older, I could still run, jump, and play. And I could do more things. And as I continue to grow older, I find myself less capable of doing some things. In other words, if I'm preaching, we need to go out and knock on doors. I don't expect Lori to come and knock on doors. Okay? I don't expect in Millie's situation that she should come out and knock on doors. I don't expect John Caldwell to come out and knock on doors. Now, if he wants to, that's fine. But I don't expect that. Why? Because they're in different seasons of their life. Now, I do expect that from those that are younger. Myself, I think this summer I'll be able to do some of that. And some of you should be able to do some of that. And I think you're responsible to do it, because the Bible teaches it. Whether you do it or not, that's up to you. I'm not going to come over to your house and say, get in the car, we're going on visitation. No, you've got to make your mind up that you want to do that, because you love the Lord. But all I'm saying is there's seasons of life. Some people can do some things and some people can't. And I understand that. I also understand sometimes it's hard for someone to knock on a door. Well, that's fine. Go with somebody who can knock on a door. Just be a support. When I started with my kids, I never expected my kids to knock on a door and talk to a person. I expected them to walk with me, carry the tracts, and help me out, give me a book or something, whatever I needed, you know, when I got to the door. They would do that. And so I'd let them even knock on the door, and then I'd step up and they'd give me the stuff and I'd talk to the people. I'm just saying everybody can that's able and capable can do those things. Some of you have families. Some of you have 5, 6, 10, 15, 20 kids, whatever. The mother and the dad may not be able to go out together. I understand that. And I don't even expect everybody to go out every single Saturday. But I would try to encourage everybody to go out maybe once or twice at least through the summer, just to be part of our program here of visitation. Okay? And that's what this is all about when you look at the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, that's not the only work we have. We have work here that we clean the church. A lot of people sign up for that. Some people don't. But we're all part really responsible for it. And some of us do it 2 or 3 times a year. It shouldn't have to. I think a family should do it one time, at least once, if they can, a month, if they're able, and take care of that. And that way, it's all divided up. many hands make the work light. And nobody should be responsible to do it all the time, right? If it gets to that, I think we ought to pay them, personally. But anyway, so this is all part of the work of the ministry. And that's what we're trying to learn now. And as church members, that's what we are saying that we're willing to do. And so let's go on to the next section. And we'll just look at it, bylaws. And again, it's going to go back and actually, we're not going to review this, but it's going to talk a little bit about this because the first bylaw here is Article 1, membership. And so that's talking about you and I. How do we become a member of this church? Now, as we look at this, I think these have, every one of these have a biblical basis to them. So again, you don't see a lot of verses here, but they're all, I think, grounded on the Word of God. So membership, and let me say this too, there's a universal church and there's a local church. Can anybody explain to me the difference between those two? That's correct. So if someone puts their faith and trust in Christ, they become a believer. They're part of the universal church. They're going to spend eternity in heaven. That doesn't mean they're necessarily a member of this church. In fact, there are churches all around in America. And if you go down to Farmington, there's New Hope. There's people there that are saved. They're part of the universal church. They're not part of Calvary Bible Church. Okay, so that's important to distinguish and understand. So once somebody gets saved, they're part of the body of Christ. That doesn't mean they're necessarily members of this local church. The reason we have a constitution in a church is to have some guidance and instruction on how we should behave as members of the local church. And that's important for all of us to understand and know. And again, everything I've seen so far, and I think everything we'll see in the future as we read through this, is founded on the principles of the Bible, the basis, okay? So, church membership, qualifications. This is, to be a church membership of this church, this should be true of every member. It is not. And I'm going to explain that in just a minute. And maybe we need to change some things. Number one says, to be received into this church, any person shall have confessed Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. So what does that mean? They make a what? That's right. That's right. Every person who comes to this church is going to make a public profession. That doesn't mean they're going to get up and say, I'm saved and something. They may not do that. But their public profession will come because myself and the deacons will meet with that person, hear their testimony, and talk to them. And of course, they would already have looked at the Constitution if they're coming for membership, but just for salvation, they may not. In other words, you can be saved and not look at this Constitution, okay? You just won't be a church member. But so for salvation purposes, someone comes and shares their testimony. And then when we hear their testimony, we come before the church and we recommend this person if they're wanting to be a member for membership. And they may give a testimony of, I have put my faith and trust in Christ and I'm saved, okay? And then again, they may not give it to the church. It depends on who it is and the situation. But the deacons have heard their testimony and will tell the church that they are in favor of this person of being a member of the church because they have a testimony of salvation. Okay, so number one, you have to trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Now, do we know everybody in the church is saved? We don't, do we? Even if they're a member of this church, can they be unsaved? How can that happen? That's right. And let me say this too, because I'm one of these people. That person may not really even know they're not saved. When I was 17, I said a prayer. And based on what the preacher said, I thought I was saved. I got baptized. And so if I gave a testimony, it would be a testimony of when I was 17 in the vestibule, preacher went through the Word of God, I prayed a prayer, got saved. But I didn't know what it was to have the Spirit of God. I had no idea. So I actually joined a church, became a member, and I was lost. I got saved later on, actually 4 years later. So you can be a member of this church and not be saved, although that's not our goal. The second one says, express suitable agreement with the articles of faith. Okay, that was that first section. The church members' statement of purpose and desire, and the bylaws, which we're getting ready to go over. So when you came into this church, first off, you told us about your experience with Jesus Christ, that you trusted Him as your personal Savior. And then you also said, because you had a copy of the Constitution, that you expressed that you agreed. And I personally would have asked you, when I was here, and you can't remember why I was here, I would have asked you, do you agree with what the Constitution has said? Do you have anything that you don't understand or you have a problem with? And I don't think anybody's ever said, I got a problem with something, okay? So, we all have expressed that we agree with the Articles of Faith, church membership, or church member statement of purpose and desire, and the bylaws. Now, I hope everybody understood what they read, okay? Because this is what we said we agree with. What does that mean to agree with something? You made a public profession or statement to probably a board of deacons and to the church when you come, is that I agree with the Constitution and with these articles of faith and membership of state purpose and desire and bylaws. And I'm willing to submit myself to these. That's what you're doing. It's just like getting saved. When you get saved, you submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all we're doing, is submitting ourselves to. And again, the basis of this is just the Bible. So again, submitting ourselves to the Bible. And C says, so we got A, B, and then C, it says, to become a member, we have to experience Christian believers' baptism by immersion. I believe that should have been up on C instead of, I mean B instead of C. But anyway, that's just the way they ordered it. So you have to be saved and be baptized. Okay? And then agree with the articles here in the Constitution. Now, let me say this. I think we have a hole or a loophole in our Constitution. Does anybody have any idea where it's at as far as membership goes? Yes, Janie. Yeah, you are. That's correct. The children are a loophole. Do you know that? You say, how is that? Well, a lot of our children get saved, and we don't even have it in here this way, but when they get saved and baptized, and they agree to become members, they haven't read this Constitution. They don't even know what's in it. And they become members of our church. Now, they're more of associate members, is kind of the way we treat them, although it's not written in the Constitution. Their name is on the membership roll list. Right now, there's I think Kelsey's on the list. Okay? She's not an adult yet. And so, that's part of the loophole, is we don't have something that spells out associate member. But the second loophole is, I personally believe, and maybe we need to revisit the Constitution, when they turn 18, I think they ought to come again to the deacons and talk to us about whether they want to be members or not, and read the Constitution to see if they agree with it. Because how do you hold somebody accountable to something they've never read? My children, Becca, she didn't read the Constitution to become a member, and yet she's a member, and we're going to hold her accountable to this Constitution. Is that right for us? Help me out here, folks. Tell me what you think about that. I mean, I just think it's something that we ought to think about, because we've had a lot of young people that don't want to really stay in church, and then we run them through church discipline, and I don't know that that's right, because they haven't read this and agreed to this. And I think we ought to give them that opportunity, when they turn 18 as an adult to come and read this and say, you know what, I don't agree or I agree with it. And let them make the choice when they're 18 to actually become a full-fledged member. Now, I think most of the young people will do that. But I just don't want to hold those accountable that we haven't allowed them to read this and really become a member saying, I agree with the statements in this Constitution. Does that make sense? I think it does. In a way, it's a protection. It's being honest, first off, with our children and giving them the opportunity to decide. And like I say, most of them, probably 90% or more, are going to read this and say, yes, I agree with this and I want to be a member. But if one of them didn't, then they just would not be a member, a full-fledged member. And we wouldn't hold them accountable to the things that it says in this Constitution. I want you folks to pray about that a little bit, and I'm going to talk to the deacons, and we'll see if that's something that we want to add in here just to cover the base, I think. And if you have a question about it, you don't agree with it, that's fine too. I'm not just going to do anything until we talk about it or you guys have had a time to think about it and talk to your spouses and just see what you think about things. And we'll see if that's something we want to do. But I personally think that would be a good thing to do just for protection of the young people that may not want to be a member of this church for whatever reason. And I just don't want to hold people accountable that have not agreed to what we say that we are going to hold them accountable. Okay? All right. So, procedure number two. And this is the last one we'll cover today. After having given satisfactory testimony as to conversion, baptism, and views of Christian faith and practice, the applicant for membership in the church shall be recommended to the church by the pastor and board of deacons. The membership of this church shall consist of those who are received by vote of the church on the recommendation of the pastor and deacons in one of the following ways. Here's three different ways. The first one is by profession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, followed by baptism. So if someone gets saved in the church, comes to visit our church, gets saved, been here a while, starts learning the doctrines, and we sit down and talk to him about this. And I want to tell you something. Someone who just got saved has never been churched. This is not going to mean a whole lot to them. And so we need to be careful about holding them accountable. In other words, we ought to give them time to understand what these things mean. Because this is a serious document when you start looking at it as we get on further, especially church discipline and those type of things. So we want our people who become members to understand what this is saying and understand what they're expected to be doing because they agree to it. So again, someone who just got saved, you probably want to give them some time. And this is what I counsel people a lot of times. I hope I said this to you. If I didn't, I'm sorry. But I usually try to tell people that come to my church and they show an interest of becoming members, if they haven't been here long, I'd say, why don't you come a while, come to the Wednesday services, the Sunday services, find out what we're like. I don't want you to just join a church after being here once or twice because you may find out it's really not what you want to be part of. And I don't want to hold you accountable to something in this Constitution if you really didn't understand or feel like this was your church. You know what I'm saying? We've had people that joined the church. One person joined the church and said they did it because they wanted to encourage. This is right before I came. Encourage some people in the church. That is not the right reason to join the church. Join the church because you feel led of God that this is where He wants you to serve and to be part of, to minister. If you can't do that, then don't join the church. Go find another church to join. I mean, that's just the way that it ought to be. So the first way is by profession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, followed by baptism. The second is by letter of dismissal from another church holding the same faith and practice. I highly recommend that this is the way it ought to be. A lot of churches don't practice this. I found this out. If someone leaves my church, I recommend to them when they go to their new church and they begin to join that church, that they have that pastor contact us and find out, number one, did these people leave your church in good standing? You know what? If a person leaves the church and they're not in good standing, then where they go, they're going to mess that church up just like they messed up the one they were just left. You need to be right with God. And I think that's important if we're on the same page. So when someone calls me, a pastor calls me and says, so-and-so would like to be a member of my church, for instance, Pastor Canavan. When the Ruddies left, I called Pastor Canavan way before they left because Rob gave me his name and he wanted me to talk to him. But I told him the method and the way that we should do this is that when they get there and they feel like that's a place they want to join and be part of and minister, that it would be good for you to ask me, or I already talked to him, told him about it, but just send me a note telling me that they want to join so I can come to my church and we can go ahead and dismiss them. Or send a letter to that church as their members in good standing of this church. And I think that's the proper way to leave a church and vice versa. But anyway, lots of people don't do it because that's why C is in here. C is by experience, if having been baptized and holding membership some elsewhere or in peculiar circumstances cannot obtain a letter of dismissal from his respective church or group, or by restoration, if having been excluded from membership of this church and upon giving satisfactory evidence for restoration or explanation of lapse of membership. So if a person comes and says, I've been baptized scripturally, I've been born again, I'd like to be a member of this church, based on their statement of faith, we will accept them and they can join the church. Although I would really personally prefer to know who their pastor was and talk to him before they join. Because I want to know what he thinks. Because if these people left in a bad way, it's not right. But there are people that we're going to not do that, because sometimes there are circumstances when you leave a church, the pastor's going off in the left field. I don't know what that means, Mike. I know what that meant. Okay. Anyway, whatever. So there are those circumstances, and I understand those. I still like to talk to the pastor just to find out where he really is and things. So there are that. So those are the ways you can become members of our church. And I think those are valid, and I agree with most everything in there. I mean, I agree with all of it. I just like to know that when we take and someone gets saved, that they understand this constitution. When they read through the articles of faith, they understand what those mean. Because that's the expectation. Now, we know that they're going to grow, and we want to accept people in membership, but we just don't want to force them in a situation where they're not going to be able to do what they're saying they're going to do. You know what I'm saying? If I got a bad habit, and I haven't broke it yet, and I just can't get past it, and it's something that would be a stumbling block, I don't want to be a member. And just let me come and be in the church, and I can. And my theory, or not my theory, but my... the way I think about it, they can still serve in certain areas. Obviously, they can't teach and stuff like that unless you're a member. But you can help others do things. If they want to help clean, they can help clean. I don't have a problem with that and stuff like that. So anyway, just some thoughts. Anybody have any questions so far? Any thoughts? All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, again, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your love for us. I thank you for, again, the men and women who sat down, put this together. We see over the years it has stood the test of time. I believe it's a document that is based on your word. And Father, I thank you for that, because I believe everybody in this room that is born again, knows you as your personal Savior, is a member of this church, is seriously desiring to practice those things that are written here. Now, Father, we just pray that you continue to guide and direct and dismiss us with your grace and mercy and strength, and help each one of us this week to depend on you for everything that takes place in our lives. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.